came to April and we had a visit from the television cameras to take a shot of our wheat, which was green in April, spring wheat. And it got to June, middle of June, and my daughter Karen, who was 6 at the time, looked at me across the breakfast table with a little eyes squeezing, and she said, "Dad, when I went to bed last night, I asked God, could you please send some fine weather for my dad to finish his harvest? Well, we had 5 days of blue skies. We harvested the crop, it was rubbish. But we had a market for it. At the Mason found a market in Northland. They had a plague of crickets up there and they used it for cricket bait." Well, today it's very special to be talking up here on our wedding anniversary. And 46 years of Margaret and I worshiping together. And when we first got married, we joined a Presbyterian church in Wolverhampton in England. And Liz was born and we had her christening there. And then in Wales, we had a Scottish minister in Wolverhampton. And then in Wales, when we moved there, we went to an English Presbyterian church, and it was a Welsh minister, and he actually took 2 services on a Sunday, one in Welsh, and then he came to the English church and did one in English. But there are 2 men in my life who I have spiritual respect for. First was my grandfather from South Wales. He was a coal miner, and he always talked about hoyle, and hoyle is the Welsh for Holy Spirit. And he was choir master of the local chapel choir, and they used to practice down the coal mine on a Wednesday lunchtime. And he was a very humble man, and very kindly, and he was very special to me. And it was very special that he really sent us off to New Zealand with his blessing. And his birthday happens to be the 5th of March, and mine is the 6th of March. So after I came to New Zealand, I was able to ring him up on the morning of my birthday, and it was the evening of his birthday, the 5th of March. The other important person spiritually to me was my father-in-law, Jim Logan. A man of peace, peace with Jesus. He rode his horse out to see me shortly after we moved here. I was ploughing, and he said to me, "Mike," he said, "I hope this decision of these to come here was a man's decision." And I assured him it was, and Margaret also said to me, "You sure you know what you're doing when you're coming to New Zealand?" And I said, "Yes." So, it is a privilege to speak to you today and experience my experience of God's abundant provision as recorded in Psalm 65, which was Alan Kerr's psalm that he always had at Harvest Thanksgiving. A year ago, we went back to the UK for my father's funeral. He had 98 years of life, and my brother Richard said he couldn't do anything at the eulogy. Would I do something? And I said, "Yes, I can." And my sister Anne told me that I could have 2 minutes. Her husband Norman spoke for 25 minutes. However, I'd like to share with you what I covered. Being the oldest in the family, I can remember when my father was starting on his little tenanted farm. He went there, it was called Poverty Bank. Nobody would take it on. It was 90 acres, and he took it under his own terms, rent-free for the first 12 months. He started growing potatoes, and they came up all sick and yellow. And he got a soil scientist in to have a look at the crop, and this fellow said to him, have you had a cow die on this farm? And the fellow said, well, what the heck has to do with my potatoes? And he said, well, everything. And Dad said, well, actually I did. He said, last week they had two cows that were milking for the house, and one of them died. And this fellow said, well, it's got everything to do with your potatoes being sick and yellow. You've got severe magnesium deficiency. Mm. So he corrected that, and he never looked back. As a tribute to him, I quoted Angus Buchan, who I read in January before I went over. And it was about ploughing, and I learned to plough when I was 12. I ploughed with a 16-inch wide furrow and 12 inches deep. Now, 60 years later, I plough with a plough, a four furrow plough, 18 inches wide and 10 inches deep. But Angus said that any good farmer will, this was a tribute to Dad. Any good farmer will tell you that in order to produce a good crop, you need to plough deeply, then make an even seed bed, sow it an even depth, an even spacing, fertilize heavily, use the best seed money can buy, control weeds, pests, diseases and deficiencies, and leave the rest to the great farmer himself. And I finish with Jesus' words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Psalm 65 talks of God's abundant provision for us. And we're thankful that we have a provision of seed time and harvest. In the last few years, 10 years of Otama, I often think of the Psalm 65, it could almost be a picture of Otama with wheat in the valley and sheep on the hills and everything singing and shouting with joy. And my wheat growing is a team effort between myself and my agronomist Graham Jones. He came down to our place 10 years ago and said, I think this, your farm has got the potential to do 15 tons per hectare. Anyway, Graham was going over to Canada recently to talk, back in November, to talk about our crop. And he was taking notes with me before he went, and I said, Graham, you always talk about team effort. And I believe that the Lord is the captain of the team. In 2010, when we got our second record, the Lord provided extra grains. You can see the rows of grains there, but there were extra ones in between. Now, I haven't put them there. It's only the good Lord that has done that. And I like to think at this stage of my life that I'm enjoying the farm, and I like to think of it as my green cathedral. I grow 7 years of crops and 2 years of grass. It is biblical that the land should have a rest. And I grow bread crops to provide a clean seedbed for the following week. These are like John the Baptist, preparing you the way. Followed by wheat, the seed of which is buried and sends forth new leaves, just like Jesus in his death and resurrection. Oilseed rape is another break crop and it reminds me of the parable of the mustard seed. This last autumn we sowed 2.8 kilograms of seed and harvested 4,000 kilograms a hectare in February. If we have faith like a mustard seed, that is sufficient for our Saviour. The oil seed flowers for 8 weeks, shining yellow for Jesus. The following week crop is sown early with the potential for a bumpy yield with the Lord's provision. Then there is barley, which is sown on the 30th of April and the 30th of October, and the Lord provides harvest time in January and April. This year we were blessed with a very good crop of winter barley, thanks to the mild winter that we had. It came through at the end of the winter and was looking green instead of yellow. I spend many hours on the tractor and head urn. It's a time of reflection, thanksgiving for the beauty of creation. It's a time of joy, peace, and an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. At my age, the empowering of the Holy Spirit sees me through each day, giving me an inner peace and contentment. I'd like to reflect on those words that we heard in Philippians this morning. With Christ in our life, we've got everything in us. And everything else, other than Christ, is garbage. And Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit. You can blaspheme against my name, but you're not blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. I'd like to thank you for listening to me, and I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, at this harvest time, we thank you for your abundant provision for the growth of grass, crops, the beauty of flowers and gardens, vegetables, all fulfilled by your hand. We thank you for our living Saviour, Jesus Christ, who came and lived, died and rose again, that we may have eternal life. Finally, we thank you for the fruits of the Holy Spirit.